Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you The Catholic Doctors, discussing medicine in light of church teaching. And now, The Catholic Doctors with Dr. Michael Parker and Dr. Will Turek.
Welcome to The Catholic Doctors Show, a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. This is your co-host in studio, Dr. Michael Parker with Dr. Will Turek. Will, how are you today?
Back in the saddle again.
It's good to be back.
Right now.
Yeah, we've had a few disruptions in our normal schedule over the past several weeks, whether it's been me working or...
Not being able to make it on time, you know, or whatever.
Just a number of things, but...
Yeah, you know, that's
praise
okay.
Praise be to God, we're back in studio, ready to give people a half an hour of good information, right?
Let's hope so.
Yeah.
Let's hope so.
Well, I just hope some people don't find this obnoxious and annoying.
No, they just don't tune in.
Well, you know, I've heard now in the city of Columbus, if you do anything that's obnoxious or annoying, you might be able to be arrested. Or charged.
Then I might get charged, like, as soon as I walk out the door.
I think sometimes just your presence.
Ah, there we go. Maybe that's possible.
No, I don't think that's possible.
So this topic today is pretty timely.
Well, we're using those words for a reason.
I think so.
Yeah. And that is, and it is fairly timely, and people may hear about this during the time that this show airs and what's going on, but the Columbus City Council has put forth in a city law, I would assume.
Ordinance.
That would make it a crime if you are deemed to be obnoxious or unruly or some other type of thing outside an abortion clinic. If you're peacefully protesting outside an abortion clinic, you could be considered annoying or obnoxious, and the police could be called and arrest you.
What exactly is the definition of being obnoxious?
Well, it's a good thing you asked because we had to bring somebody else in to tell us.
To explain it. Thank God for that. All right.
And thank goodness we have somebody who's been on our show before and knows how to deal with us, and that's Beth Vandercoy for the Greater Columbus Right to Life. Beth, welcome back to the Catholic Doctors Show on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
It is always a special and unique pleasure.
All right. Glad you're here.
I hear just a tinge of sarcasm in that.
Just a tinge.
Well, you know, it's definitely been a kind of a weird week and a half here in Central Ohio, starting when I opened up my computer and read that Columbus City Council, under the sponsorship of Councilwoman Elizabeth Brown, was introducing a resolution to create the new crime of annoying and inconveniencing, not obnoxious, but annoying and inconveniencing somebody within 15 feet of a so-called reproductive health care facility. And so obviously this is targeted at behavior outside of abortion clinics or places like Planned Parenthood. But I would note that it is written broadly enough that there might actually be a 15-foot bubble around your person. As a reproductive health care specialist, in which case I'm going to stick close to you because there are a lot of people who annoy me starting with city council right now.
Well, keep going. I'll ask my question when you get done explaining this because I think it's important to hear the true explanation of this.
Well, essentially what city council has done is they've packaged together a proposed municipal ordinance, 1548-2006. It's worth noting that we're taping this right as they're acting. They're on a very short time schedule. And so things may, you know, they're changing by the day, as always happens when you're dealing with legislation. So I'll get in a quick plug that you can find more information about this. It's very timely on our website at gcrtl.org. But essentially what they've done is they've packaged some terms, and to quote their law, it would make it illegal to physically obstruct or block another person from entering into or exiting the premise of a reproductive health care facility, physically striking them, shoving them, restraining them, grabbing them, or otherwise subjecting that person to unwanted physical
conduct.
Sounds
like assault.
That's exactly what we would say, is that this is already covered. It's redundant and applies and equally protects all citizens everywhere in the city and throughout the state. And also, the Federal FACE Act, which was signed in 1994, has some pretty serious penalties for blocking obstruction to an abortion clinic. Sure. I think it's something like a $10,000 penalty and up to 3 years in jail for a first nonviolent offense.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty serious. That was the law that was signed in by Bill Clinton in 1994.
Now, I work in the prison system, and I've never met anybody who's been jailed for this sort of an offense.
Well, I think it was first enacted right after the death of Dr. Tiller. And the idea was, you know, it kind of was going after, if you know the old Operation Rescue, it was kind of going after where they would actually physically obstruct the access, chain themselves to the doors. It was going after that kind of behavior. But so all of those things seem quite reasonable on their face. But the second part goes on and says that it's also illegal. It would also be illegal under the statute to follow and harass someone within 15 feet of an abortion clinic.
Well, what's the definition of harassment? Just talking to them?
Well, the devil is in the definitions when it comes to legislation.
Right.
And that's exactly what we are taking concern with, is the definition of harass as provided in this ordinance, which I'll just read you, is to engage in a course of conduct or repeatedly commit acts within 15 feet of the premise by the property line of a reproductive health care facility when that behavior places another person in reasonable physical harm, attempt to do the same, or if they are knowingly annoying, inconveniencing, or creating alarm in that person.
So are there people doing this sort of activity in Columbus?
Well, I will say, you know, we have been engaging in our sidewalk counseling program since really the end of 2012 is when it really got kicked up. And we have seen that in Central Ohio since 2012, the abortion numbers have gone down by about 30% here in Central Ohio.
Because they're all getting harassed?
Well, we're out there, that's for sure, and prayer is a powerful presence. And, you know, it's twice what it has been elsewhere in the state. Okay. And so I would say it's probably pretty inconvenient that we are out there. And, you know, look, we're out there. We're unapologetic about the fact that we're opposed to abortion. But when our team goes out, when our volunteers go out, you know, this people, our listeners are accustomed to this. They're used to this. They've participated themselves. It's things like 40 Days for Life. It's our sidewalk counseling. It's our prayer that we're doing at the clinic. And that's been very effective.
So you remember the abortion clinic in Joliet, Illinois, that had the four priests at each corner of the abortion clinic, and simultaneously with walkie-talkies were praying the exorcism prayer 1509 in Latin. And would this be considered harassment under this law?
Well, it could definitely be up for interpretation. So the first thing would be, are they 15 feet away from the property line of the clinic?
Oh.
So under that statute, you can annoy and harass somebody all that you want if you're 16 feet away from the property line.
Oh.
15 feet, it therefore becomes illegal.
So Beth, what was the reasoning for bringing this about now? Has there been an incident that brought this about, or is it that they see maybe these right-to-life groups are being successful in diminishing the number of abortions?
Well, I think it's a little bit of a lot of things. I will say that since the Center for Medical Progress released their videos in the summer of 2015 in August, there has been an increased presence outside of abortion clinics. And, you know, that means we've had more people coming and volunteering. That means other organizations have had people coming and volunteering. And different people are drawn to different types of activism. So whereas our organization tends to focus a little bit more on kind of the prayerful mentality and offering assistance, there are some who do things that tend to create a little bit more public controversy. So, you know, maybe they're adopting street preaching style. Mm-hmm. Maybe they are showing the images of what some people would call graphic images, or what people would call abortion victim images. There's a lot more of that kind of stuff going on. And I think that certainly probably creates more anger. And it's not just that it's more anger. I think it's the same anger that's directed toward us, but it's anger that has a better PR person, so to speak, because it's easy. It's a little easier to get people riled up about an image that you might find uncomfortable and be willing to use that as an opportunity to diminish somebody's First Amendment rights, which is what we're talking about really here, which is to say that on public property and even on private property, might I add, I think based on their definition of premise, you could have an individual who is there peacefully praying, who walks towards a woman, offers her a piece of literature that is deemed to be inconvenient, or it's deemed to be annoying and also following because you walked toward her, and suddenly you are being, you know, you're being charged with a misdemeanor here in the city of Columbus that comes with a $1,000 fine and a, you know, a penalty of up to a year in jail.
So this is, you know, Walter Hoy, Reverend Walter Hoy, you remember him. He was on our show and did the show about the letter to the Birmingham jail, because he was jailed for protesting outside abortion clinic. He had a simple sign and he stood there and was very successful in trying to convince specifically African-American women, but often, you know, all races of walking away from the abortion clinic. He ended up in jail for this. Right. So this is precisely a broader statute, in that Walter Hoy was the only target for the Oakland statute. This is for everybody.
So how are people to know where that 15 feet begins? Is the property line going to be drawn for them, or is it something they're just going to have to assume they know?
I don't know. I would assume, you know, there's always a presumption that you're aware of what the law is. We have, you know, I've just kind of gone out and taken a measuring stick and, you know, judged on base where we think that the property line is, and kind of said, you know, this is where it might be. It's out into Broad Street. It's
well, there's an easement that the city has on all properties to come in and do like sewage line work and that kind of stuff. And could that be considered annoying and obnoxious outside a reproductive health care center?
Well, that
would that impede somebody's ability to go into that center if there is construction going on the street and it's within 15 feet of them?
It probably could. And, you know, it would go the other way. I mean, it could be something as really kind of ridiculous as, as other behavior. You know, for example, one thing that that we raised awareness of, you know, completely aside from the issue of abortion, is that about 2 years ago, the Founders Abortion Facility had hired somebody who lost his medical license for, I don't know, 7-10 years after he pled guilty to aggravated sexual assault of minors.
Oh.
He finally got his medical license back, probably couldn't find a job anywhere else, and ended up working at the abortion clinic. And so we were telling people, do you realize you're taking your minor daughter into a gynecologist who is a convicted sex offender? And you know, we would tell people that. Some wouldn't care. A lot stopped. And, you know, it turned out that we were right, because, you know, he's now in federal prison because he got caught and had to permanently revoke his medical license in May of 2014 for child pornography and distributing illicit images of children. And so, you know, it's not just, even if somebody is not, maybe not with us on the issue of abortion, I would say that any business owner that is hiring a known sex offender to have interaction with vulnerable populations, you know, what makes Founders special as opposed to the law office, you know, a law office down the street or something?
Well, you know, this brings up the issue of, you know, Ohio State has nursing unions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what if those nursing unions want to go on strike and protest outside the building?
I actually argued exactly that same thing. It would require them to be 15 feet outside, by my interpretation. Again, it's going to be different. And in fact, you know, just, you know, something that kind of shocked us today, the ACLU, usually not with us, might I add, they sent out a letter that essentially says, while we wholeheartedly and unapologetically agree with women's rights to have abortion, including in Columbus, we believe that this statute is redundant in the parts that address actual, you know, the striking, the pushing, the shoving, and the new elements, the annoying and the inconveniencing, are blatantly unconstitutional under the First Amendment.
The ACLU said this. So that in and of itself is really kind of telling about this law.
I would say, and you know, there was a public hearing. It was a little bit of a sham of a public hearing, quite frankly. It was held on Tuesday the 14th. They said it went from 5:30 until 7 p.m. They held it in a room. I think they turned the air conditioning off and found the smallest room that the city of Columbus owned. Literally, I think there were room for 60, counting staff and people standing. Everybody else got shut outside of the building. And they had a hearing on it that lasted for an hour and a half. And the rules were that they would take proponents and opponents. You could talk for 3 minutes alternating until testimony was concluded or the time was up. Well, by the time that they got done making their statements, there was an opportunity for, I believe, five, maybe six sets of proponents and opponents, which meant that there was only 15, 18 minutes of people actually being able to say why they opposed this law. Mm-hmm. A huge amount of the time was taken up by somebody from the city attorney's office telling all of the reasons that she believed that this was constitutional, all of the reasons that they had done their due diligence. They had modeled it after the New York law rather than the Boston law. The Supreme Court weighed in mm-hmm. on the Boston law a couple right. of, you know, not that long ago, saying that it was unconstitutional. So, you know, you put two attorneys in a room and you come up with three opinions, right? Just because people can disagree on legal interpretation. And I think that's part of the problem is at the end of the day, we know that either abortion is wrong or it's not, right?
It's murder or it's not.
It's either wrong or it's not. Right. And so some things are, they're very objective. It either is or it isn't. Other things are pretty subjective. And I would say that the definition of annoy and inconvenience, no matter how well-intended, it has to be that. I mean, what annoys me from day to day varies from person to person.
What Dr. Parker's doing right now is annoying me. So,
wow.
I'm fine with it. So,
just sitting here, just sitting here can be annoying to a lot of people. You're listening to the Catholic Doctor Show, a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, and we're talking with Beth Vandercoy from the Greater Columbus Right to Life about new obstacles that are trying to be put in front of peaceful protesters and abortion clinics. And Beth, this kind of comes down, you know, the ACLU being on your side. I'm glad to hear this because when I'm in Cleveland, I read the newspaper that the ACLU is suing the city of Cleveland mm-hmm. over the zones that they set up for protest around the Republican National Convention that's going to be happening there in July. And so, you know, I think that shows that they're at least being consistent in this nature. And they were saying that it was a First Amendment right to be able to protest outside these organizations and to protest within a reasonable area.
As long as the people you're protesting against are the people you don't like, right?
Well, no, I think they're showing that they're consistent with this issue.
No, I know, but the thing is that, you know, everybody hate, you know, the liberal media hates Trump.
You know, we're just not, you know, in Cleveland, we're just not hearing about the Democratic National Convention because that's going to be in another city. And so there may be similar zones there that may be even farther away
Perhaps.
Than what we're seeing in Cleveland. But all I'm familiar with is what I read in the Cleveland newspaper. So,
how is this going to affect your program? Because you are the biggest organization that protests, you know, Catholic, Protestant, whatever, I mean, in the city, against abortion, outside clinics.
Yeah, we definitely have a very dedicated group of volunteers. And here's how it will impact us. I would say that there's two opportunities for us to be really negatively inconvenienced by this or really negatively infringed upon by this. The first is that you could have somebody who is out doing things that are legal, peaceful, prayer, says the wrong thing in the wrong way to the wrong person on the wrong day and is being cited or arrested.
Mm-hmm.
So you have somebody who, you know, because of a bad interpretation or a bad day is being, unjustly prohibited. Or they could eventually interpret it that it's all activity. You know, they're saying, oh, you know, this isn't going to impact prayerful people. This isn't going to impact the nice lady who just wants to hand off some information or some literature. Mm. This is really geared at certain types of behavior, that's threatening, that's intimidating. Again, already covered under law.
Yeah.
And what they're saying is that the current laws aren't sufficient because the police aren't coming to enforce it. Well, if they're not enforcing existing law, the solution isn't to make a new law, especially one that's potentially confusing and redundant. It's to enforce the actual laws. The second thing, I think, and that's where so many of these First Amendment and free speech cases come into being, is when something is done that has what's often called a chilling effect on the First Amendment, which means you would normally go out and pray with your sons on a Saturday morning.
Done it often.
And you maybe next Saturday you decide you're not going to because you're a dad who bears the responsibility of your children. And if you get sent to jail, you could lose your job. And so you just don't go. And this puts you as an individual citizen in conflict, not just with your First Amendment rights, but in my opinion, the right that we have to the free exercise of our religion.
Mm, yeah.
And, you know, it's all part of this part and parcel of this idea that is being imposed upon us as Christians that you can do whatever your religion tells you to do as long as you're doing it quietly in your house and in the pews and it doesn't upset anybody. And that has never before been the understanding of the free exercise of religion. For those who were at our banquet with Matt Walsh on Monday the 13th, and he did a phenomenal job of talking about this, and he raised the fact that as Christians, it's not that we choose to speak out against abortion. It's that we are mandated to speak out against abortion because the right to life is fundamental to all the other rights that we enjoy.
Mm-hmm. No, and I think you're exactly right in these situations. And I think, you know, when you pass laws that are as vague as this, you know, it just opens up the door to, you know, interpretation and who's going to be interpreting this. Is it going to be a judge who's going to be thinking in your favor, or is it going to be a judge who leans the other way and supports the abortion clinic? It all comes down to you're not really getting a fair shake in all of this. And, you know, does this mean that we're going to now have our police force distracted from doing what's absolutely necessary for them to do, and that is maintaining order within the city to come and arrest people that somebody finds annoying? It may also be a good time to pass the personhood amendment here in the state of Ohio, because that means the fetus is a person, and the person walking into that abortion clinic could be seen as harassing or annoying.
Well, it's funny you say that. We actually put this out on social media, and we were thinking about having T-shirts made that says, abortion annoys me. Can we make that illegal? Can we make it illegal within 15 feet of a reproductive health facility? And it most certainly inconveniences children. So for that reason, it should be illegal as well.
Annoys them a lot, too.
It annoys and inconveniences them.
Yeah, there you go. Absolutely.
Well, could that be an interpretation of the law?
I mean, at some point, you're going to have people who are arbiters of the law, and they're probably going to say no. And that's the same thing that's probably going to actually happen if this were enacted, is that it would make no change. And in fact, it would probably make the people, like our volunteers that are doing the good work, they're out there, they're praying, they're volunteering, they're helping women, they're speaking to them in love and truth with mercy. It's probably going to make them stay home. And what it will do is it will embolden those, and they're out there. I mean, we all have bad actions and we all have bad actors within a movement. And that's true if you're talking about the church. It's true if you're talking about the pro-life movement. But those people aren't going to stay home. This isn't going to, they're going to relish being arrested for this. And they're probably eventually going to be released on it.
The targets, you're talking about the targets of this particular law who are perhaps infringing on people's rights and annoying them and so forth.
Well, I would say I wouldn't use the phrase infringing upon people's rights and annoying them. But if there are people who are out protesting an abortion clinic, and if they are doing things like grabbing, blocking access to a clinic, physically striking, shoving, if they are actually doing these things, one, they should be cited under existing law. I'd start with, again, not an attorney, but I'd start with disturbing the peace and go right up to assault and maybe kidnapping.
So the whole you know, the reason this law is coming out right now is we don't really have a real good idea. There's not been an inciting incident that necessarily brought this around. But also, just to kind of summarize, there's already laws, federal laws, on the book that prohibit any type of activity that's already trying to be prohibited by this ordinance from city council. And second, this is a huge infringement on your First Amendment right to freedom of speech, right?
That is what we believe. And can I also add, we have been very active, you know, we have issued an action alert, which is probably unprecedented in the history of Greater Columbus Right to Life. In less than a week time, we've collected something like 6,000 or 8,000 postcards. 1,000 people have signed a petition. You know, this is going to dovetail very well into the bishop's program, again, not run by us, kind of managed by the Diocesan Office of Social Concerns, the Fortnight for Freedom.
Fortnight for Freedom, right, exactly, which is coming up June 21st through the 4th of July.
Correct, right. Absolutely.
And how can people get on this petition or send in these cards?
Well, what I would tell them, again, with the realization that things may have changed by the time this show airs, you can go onto our website, gcrtl.org. Just look for the pull-down menu that says City Council, and we're keeping as much information updated as quickly as possible on there. You know, you can also find us on Facebook and Twitter and these types of things just by searching Greater Columbus Right to Life.
It just seems so unnecessary.
Can't you be just as annoying from 15 feet 1 inch as you can from 14 feet?
I mean, Being facetious, I think that's true. But, you know, obviously, they're as Beth indicates, they're trying to put a chill in right. those who would want to come out and do this. I mean, so it's clear that it's this is just a nuisance law that they're throwing out there to make, you know, headlines and to get people riled up and say, well, gosh, they shouldn't be doing this sort of thing. And these particular organizations really need to be isolated from everybody else. And they'll ultimately try to, you know, get honest people, you know, like the St. Pat's group and all the other folks that do this regularly, week in and week out, try to get them off the streets.
Well, and I think we have to remember that just because something is distasteful does not mean that we can make it illegal. And so there right. are many people in many facets of daily life that say things that I find distasteful.
Exactly.
Increasingly, we are trying to protect ourselves and our society. You see this at the college levels with, mm-hmm. you know, what are they called? Free speech zones and even safe spaces, mm-hmm. you know, where the idea is that it can be so psychologically damaging. And I would say, look, a lot of psychologically damaged women are at abortion clinics. But that just means that we should be there doing the work to stop them and to help them before things get worse.
Well, Beth, keep doing all the great work that you're doing for Greater Columbus yes. Right to Life, and good luck with this very important issue that's before the Columbus City Council. And we'll hope that people, by the time this airs, that it won't have passed and that people will still have time to take action against this, especially, you know, to convince these people that it's the wrong thing to do.
Yeah, and continue to be able to do that freely.
Right.
This is America still, right?
Yeah. At least as far as we know, no martial law has been declared yet.
Last time I checked.
Yep. You're listening to The Catholic Doctor Show, a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Until next week, we hope your week is happy, healthy, and holy.
God bless.
The Catholic Doctors is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of The Catholic Doctors with Dr. Michael Parker and Dr. Will Turek are available at stgabrielradio.com. Veni,
many support a woman's right to choose, but sadly, few know the consequences of those choices. The Catholic Medical Association supports your right to know. Women who have had an abortion are at higher risk for complications in future pregnancies, especially premature birth and low birth weight of their children. This puts their babies at risk for breathing problems, feeding problems, infections, heart problems, anemia, and eye problems. To find out more, visit cathmed.org.